John Dean is with us here on the Paula Gordon Show, Bill Russell, and he have been exploring some of the things that have happened. I want to go back up to this authoritarian idea that you explore with great elegance in Conservatives Without Conscience.
Which is now out in paperback.
Well, and it's a really important notion, and it goes back to what I was saying about growing up around the McCarthyites and the John Birch Society.
Yes.
These people never went away, and what we have seen in these last 50 years is this idea of the authoritarian. Bill, you talked about the theological feeling of the people who are currently in control with the Bush-Cheney administration, which you consistently call the Bush-Cheney administration. It is important in America to have a sense of what is happening since we are sovereign, and when you have this authoritarian mindset that has now permeated all three government branches, the one place you give me hope in thinking about the authoritarian is this balance of power includes the people. The people may not buy the authoritarian model.
I don't think they do. What happened, as you know from that book, is that when I set out to try to find out what had become of conservatism, why it thinks the way it does, acts the way it does, I found that one faction really controls more than others the entire conservative movement today. That's the the religious right, for lack of a better umbrella term. They are pure authoritarian personalities. I ran into this body of science that really started in the aftermath of World War II, where a group up at Berkeley decided to look and ask the question, could what happened in Nazi Germany ever happen in this country? Would the Americans ever stand by while a Holocaust occurred and a dictator was leading them in all the wrong directions? The short answer, and they published this in the early 50s in a book called The Authoritarian Personality, was yes, it could happen. There are people of this personality. Obviously, it was very controversial. It was debated heavily. No one has ever proved the book wrong, but they had legitimate criticisms of the book, and they were that it was based largely on Freudian psychology. And we all know that there are problems with that, although it's never been proven wrong either. But what they did, many of the critics went to see if we could empirically test and determine if there were types of personalities. They weren't looking initially at the authoritarian leaders, who are quite conspicuous. We know there are those types. It was more the people, the followers, who would compliantly sit by while some leader led them off in these often dubious directions, and they just willingly followed. And the empirical evidence, we now have about a half century of it, and it shows very clearly that we have this type of personality.
And isn't that what we have seen from the Rush Limbaugh and Coulter era forward?
Yes.
Even before it became apparent that the imperial presidency was about to come with ferocious intensity, didn't the groundwork get laid?
Yes, they are cheerleaders for authoritarians. As you indicated, not everybody agrees with this, and it's particularly now appears that the more that Americans have discovered the authoritarian personality, the less attracted they are to it. Roughly 25-30% of the American people fall in this category. They will follow a leader rather blindly. We haven't seen Bush's ratings go below 30% right now. We didn't see Nixon's go down below 23. Those are the hardcore. Those people would follow Nixon to the end of the earth and find nothing wrong. They never question what he does. They submit too easily to authority. Then they become very aggressive in pushing that worldview. They can be bullies. They're very anti-democratic. They are not very pleasant people. And this isn't scientists saying this about them. This is what they say about themselves when they're anonymously tested, and they do it repeatedly.
The 25% strikes me because that is precisely the number of senators who would not vote to censor Joe McCarthy.
Isn't that interesting?
Precisely, plus or minus one or two.
Then they took over the Republican Party.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Goldwater supported McCarthy for a very in my reading of his papers for a very different reason. He liked the man, and McCarthy had come to Arizona to help him get in the Senate, and he just felt, you know, well, I should return the favor when he's in trouble and what have you. He actually tried to calm him down. A number of times I found in his correspondence, he goes off, for example, when McCarthy's in Bethesda after smashing his hand and cutting himself up on a glass table in one of his drunken stupors, and Goldwater tries to get the man to sober up, straighten up, and stop really giving conservatism a bad name, and the witch hunt should, you know, pull back. You know, you've pushed it too far to no avail. But he felt he had to support him. But Goldwater's not a particularly authoritarian personality, believe it or not.
I don't want this hour to end without talking about the court system, because, you know, we've talked about the sovereignty of the people, and one of the things this administration has done is to aggressively seek, or appears to have done, and I think it's unequivocal, try to disenfranchise people, voters. The standard way that you deal with that is to go to the courts, particularly the federal courts, to seek solace.
Redress,
that's the word. And if you can, if you don't have the option of going to the courts, if people are being disenfranchised and the court is not an option, then the power of the people as voters is seriously undermined and diminished. But I say that as background to this notion of fundamentalism on the Supreme Court, because that is, I think, something that most of us don't hear about, the idea of fundamentalist on the Supreme Court.
And we'll come back in just a moment with fundamentalists on the Supreme Court, of which John Thien has both been articulate in books and will be when we return in just a moment. Be with us.